Don't tell everything you know. We've been working for a while on lists that come out of the Bible. We're going to work this morning on a list that finishes at the same place another list finished about 6, 8, 10 weeks ago. Some of you may recognize it when we get there. Before I go there, I want to tell you the subject of the list is how people respond to the work of the Holy Spirit. And before we can talk about those things, we have to have some background or context. So what I want from you is I want you to tell me what is the work of the Holy Spirit.
What's the Holy Spirit trying to do?
For those of you who know something about Scripture,
Comforter.
The old King James Version uses the term paraclete, which means alongside of. Comforter. Anybody remember anything else the Holy Spirit's doing?
Intercessor?
Yeah, I'm not going to use the $15 word, but I'm going to use a whole bunch of little words that come out in the same place. Prays with us, for us, when we don't know how to pray. Get an eraser and start that over again. The word I have is that approximately 1 week ago, the tumor in June Bass was about 1 inch long. 5 days later, it's 11 inches long. Some things happen so fast, you don't know how to pray. Holy Spirit has some work to do with Bass this week and with those of us who know and love it. Bass.
Can I just the altar?
Yeah, that. You said the first of two things that can start that way. Guides us to truth. And I think you can modify that with all truth. Related to that is, reminds us of Scripture or things about Jesus, maybe things He said, sufficient to do that. But associated with that is simply guides us, gives us direction in life. And so there's two different things that start with that.
He is helping us understand the Bible verses that we are reading in there.
Yeah, I think that may be sort of the next stage of that. Helps us make sense of what we read here in those kinds of contexts. What else? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that's a big one. Convicts the world of sin.
Righteousness
and judgment.
Makes us realize how much we need God. Every one of these can be expanded quite a bit, and you all are doing good at suggesting ways of expanding some of these. Those of you who are taking notes, there's good things there to say. Sort of still part of this brings us to repentance. The big debate running right now in Baptist circles about the nature of salvation. There's really deep issues out there that people are dealing with.
about whether any human action is necessary for salvation to come. My position, I think the position of many in this church, most if not, is that while God's salvation is open to everybody, there's a human response that if it comes, the door is open, and if it does not come, the door stays closed. That's what's meant by repentance. Brings us to the point where the redemption that God offers becomes effective. What else?
Yes, sir.
Gives power.
Yeah, doesn't just guide, but empowers us. And as long as you're saying that, I'm going to tell you the metaphor that I prefer to hear people use. I hear sometimes people praying, God, give us power, and I've realized that you need a sense of how that power is developed. And the model that I use is batteries and extension cords. Do you know the difference between a battery and extension cord? A battery is a little portable source of power, right? How about an extension cord? Does it have power in it?
No.
Absolutely. It has power in it as it flows from the source of power to the place where the power is to be engaged in you. Christians shouldn't pray to be batteries. Christians ought to pray to be extension cords. And if you'll let me just tack that on to the tail end of what you're talking about, it lets me remind you of something that someday there's a quiz on. There was something over here, Rhonda, were you getting ready to say something?
Yeah. I was getting ready to say, and I like that analogy, but that was getting ready to say what was said about.
What else?
Encourage.
Yeah, isn't that a great word? Not only empowers us, but encourages. Let me throw out a couple more N words. Enables us. Engages us. There's a whole bunch of N words. I can make a list out of that when we can spend a Sunday on that. Maybe we ought to put
N. Can I give a personal story?
Sure.
System that involves that. A lot of you know I'm a first year teacher. And many times when I am driving to school, I'm praying a lot. Logistically speaking, running a class is, and it's a lot there. And so many times at the end of the day, I get that encouragement from the Holy Spirit saying that there are things that happen that you didn't realize was going to happen, but you completed things that you wanted to get done. And it's just that uplifting and boosting that I get at the end of the day from the Holy Spirit. And not knowing what was going to happen at the beginning. Because I had my plans, but He fulfilled them along with me to make them so much greater and more rich. And I've seen that in many days.
Scripture says in one place, when the time comes for you to say a word from the Lord, don't worry about what you're going to say. When that time comes, the word will be there if you've been in me and the time comes in. I can't count the number of times I come into this room with a lesson kind of planned out, and what happens in here is different, better by far than what I thought might happen when I came in. You all don't usually realize that, but that's true a lot of days. Yeah.
I'm kind of tacking on what you said in the about the battery and the extension cord. It was several years ago that I don't even know where it is, but the verse that says, bear fruit that lasts. And I was really convicted about that we can do a lot of things for our own strength that are very good, but it's like, it didn't last. The bearing fruit didn't last. And I want to see people saved, discipled, and discipling other people, and that kind of thing. So I started to pray more along those lines of, Lord, I don't want to just see fruit that's temporary. I want fruit that's going to last and keep multiplying, go beyond. And so it's that Holy Spirit extension cord. It says it's a temporary battery that may have been partly or mostly in my own strength. Does that make sense?
Yeah. As long as the source of power still runs, the extension cord never runs out of power. Have you noticed that?
Sorry.
You ever noticed that? you have just raised a word that requires an addition to our list. You said fruit. Let's talk about Holy Spirit and fruit for a minute. What does the Holy Spirit have to do with fruit?
She's used some words.
Yeah. Whose fruit is that? That's the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in us. She says we're supposed to bear fruit. Absolutely right. Is that the same thing? Please say no. So what's that? Bearing fruit that lasts. What's the fruit that we produce? And what does the Holy Spirit have to do with that?
It's Devin's son. It's the Holy Spirit.
In Kings, and again in Isaiah, there's this fantastic verse. It says, roots below and fruit above. Roots below, fruit above. The fruit the Holy Spirit produces in us, patience, long-suffering, kindness, and all those other things that we'll someday get to, but Travis did it too recently for us to go to it too soon. I got to give you time to forget. The Holy Spirit produces fruit in us, and the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in us enables us to bear fruit. What's the fruit we bear? Just checking to make sure everybody's got this one straight. Nobody's got this one straight.
And we get to be a part of other people's salvation.
Change lives. We have a part in God's work of changing lives. And the fruit we bear is the changing lives of others. Our church's motto reflects that, and reflects that, I think, accurately.
So, the Holy Spirit produces fruit in us so we can bear fruit.
Maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but the Holy Spirit can't produce anything until He prunes, until I'm pruned. I think of pruning first.
Remember I said any one of these you could expand out of? Yeah.
I think of pruning before I think of bearing anything.
Yeah. And why does the great gardener prune us? Remember the phrase? So we can bear more fruit. Pruning isn't necessarily pleasant. Gary Sims, speaking at your service this morning.
Yeah, Dad.
Yeah.
My grandmother, my mother, I think it was, prayed me into prison. And all that's happening now came because of some pruning that his mother saw needed to happen.
See, what she said is she thought that she, if I heard you right, you said, before I can produce fruit, I need to get pruned. I think they happen all along. You know, like if we wait, good gosh. You know, like we know all the junk that goes through our mind. It's like God would never use us. You know what I mean? Like we're produced, I know what you really mean, but I guess I've heard people, like they don't feel adequate or they don't feel worthy. And it's like if we're just real and we know that we're being pruned and producing all the same time as you go.
It's just that initial pruning process.
Yeah, because if I waited to be fully pruned, I don't think God ever did anything.
Y'all don't sing hymns anymore, do you?
Sometimes.
Do you sing one this morning? We did.
Really did.
Really did.
We sang a good one this morning. Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. Did he? Come ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you'll never come at all. Let not conscience make you linger, nor fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. That hymn did pretty good. Y'all ought to sing one every once in a while. I'm glad he sang. Did he sing the whole thing? Did he sing those verses too?
Is there a video of that?
That's a good one. What else needs to go on this list? Because I still got work to do over here on this list.
Teacher.
which you covered, I guess, is guiding, directed, and reversible.
And you know, helps us to make sense of what we read and hear, helps us make sense of things that are around.
Let me see. I think you got most everything I had written down. In the other hour, they used words like strengthens and sustains, as opposed to the M words that you guys were using, or in the M words, empowers, encourages, enables, engages.
Now,
yeah.
Jesus said, "When the Spirit comes, He will bear witness to me."
Which, if we were going to flesh this one out and expand this one, that'd be a big part to go in there.
I have written in here, gives us the motivation and the ability, both to for the initial act of salvation and for everything we do beyond that.
Gifts of the Spirit.
Oh yeah, I did put that down in the other hour.
That's a good one.
Give gifts.
Number 8. That's probably a good place to stop. Because now what I want to do is I want to move to the thing that we really want to talk about today.
And that is, how do people respond to the work of the Holy Spirit? And I want you to find Acts 7. Now, there's a context here, and I want to try to set that context very quickly. You're at the tail end of a statement that Stephen is making before the Supreme Court of the country. The end of this, he has so enraged them that they basically frog march him outside and throw stones at him until he's dead. Stephen is about to be martyred. And in the middle of this, he says this. I'm looking at verse 51. You stubborn people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are always resisting the Holy Spirit just as your ancestors used to.
So one response is to resist. Now, this is, I think, the negative. As it turns out, are most of these. This is negative. And this one applies mostly to non-believers. He's talking about back in Moses' time and now in the time when Jesus is present, and in our time too, people who should be people who come to faith in the Lord don't, and they don't because they resist. That doesn't mean that believers can't do that. I'm just saying the context of this, it's aimed primarily at non-believers. Which of these things on your list does that point more to? Does it point generally to all of them, or does it point more to one or two of them?
Four.
Yeah, four, five, seven.
Probably more to these two, because if you haven't responded to one of these, there's probably not going to be much of this going on. So this one seems to point. So the Spirit is at work connecting the world to sin, and you just... Nothing wrong with me. Makes us realize how I don't need God. Guides us to truth. I don't want to hear truth. You can hear that. What's the other side of the coin? What would this look like if somebody was the opposite of that?
Well, the opposite would be from the book of Acts. You know, as well, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be a witness for me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the ends of the world.
Is it not only do you hear, but suddenly you become a means by which others hear? You become one whose actions become a witness. Okay. So there's the first word, resist. Look at the second one. This is in Ephesians chapter 4. This is in Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm looking at the first phrase in there. There's a larger context that we're not going to go after this time. Just the first phrase. How does yours enter this? What's the word we should put up here?
Grieve.
Does anybody have the New Living Translation?
Anybody have a copy of the New Living Translation?
The Living Bible, is that
no, that's not the same thing. Okay. I have a Palm Pilot phone. Luckily, I have this. If you see me in a worship service picking this thing up, I'm not checking my calendar. I've got King James, NIV, New Living, Message. They're all in here. I can move back and forth among those. It's very handy. Here's how New Living Translation gives this. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live.
This one, negative or positive?
This isn't hard.
Go for it.
Negative.
Who's named that?
The person named the believers. It's aimed at believers. Do you know you can bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit? Which of those does it point to? Which of those does this one point to? Pretty much all of them. Four is probably the big one.
73.
There's all this that you can do.
It's not easy to do.
You watch a student or a teacher, and you watch a student come along that has all the things that anybody, a student would need. They just got no interest in applying. First hour went in an interesting direction on this. What is a person, a believer, doing to generate this response? Probably resisting. It's almost the same. It's like for non-believers, let's focus on the resisting because that prevents anything from ever happening. In this one, it's probably the same kind of thing. But what's happened is somebody's taken the first step or the first second step, and it's like they put their feet down and don't go any further. And the thing that the Bible is saying is at that moment, something is happening that you ought to care about. A friend of mine showed me one time a song that was originally written back in the early 1900s and used in tent revivals around and just after that turn of the century. The song goes something like, oh, where is my wandering boy tonight, the boy that's been gone so long? And they say that when people would sing that, men that hadn't had a soft heart in years would just suddenly break down and start responding to the Spirit's movement. Why? Because they started thinking about their mothers and how much their mother loved them. You can almost hear Paul saying, as he said in another place, and I brought you to this just a few weeks ago, he says in one place, if there is any way to move you in Christ, I want to do that, because there's some things you need to do in your life and you're not doing it. Yeah?
I can't recall the passage, but it seems to me like there's a passage that says that, and I've always been troubled by it, said the unforgivable sin was grieving the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and it doesn't say that. It says something a little different. It says blaspheming the Holy Spirit. It's not clear what that means. Although most people who have read that thoughtfully conclude it's looking at things that God has done through His Holy Spirit and saying Satan did those. Remember the day that Jesus cured the blind man? And the people who were the Jewish leaders tried to say, well, that's just the work of the devil. And the blind man said, now that's interesting. Nobody in the history of the world has been able to cure blindness like this man cured blindness. And you're saying the devil did that? If you go down that road, which I don't know is a particularly useful road to go too far down, most of the time it is, evidence is presented to you. And you not only reject the evidence, you read the evidence in its exact opposite. You do too much of that for too long, and there's phrases in Romans that say, God just said, I'll let you go. Paul sort of softens that when he says, sometimes you got to come to a point where you cut the ties with a brother or a sister who's just continuing to live a life that's inconsistent in the hopes that
they can be brought back to the Lord by the sorrow that that produces. This one's a little different.
This one's simply saying, you know, if you're not cooperating with what Spirit's trying to do, that brings sorrow to the Spirit. Why? God's trying to produce a masterpiece in your life. Remember what we read last week? You're God's work of art. The master painter is trying to paint something beautiful with your life. And you're not cooperating, thinking of the things that could be done. Let's move ahead.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5.
This one's also aimed at believers, or at least mostly so, and it's also negative. What's the word?
Smother.
Smother. Good word. Anybody else got a different word?
Quench.
Quench. Very good word. Any other words?
Stifle.
Wonder which translation you've got. That's the word I've got in my translation. One translation says put out. You can put out cats.
And you can put out fires. Which one are they talking about?
Yeah.
Putting out fires.
In fact, they say, don't put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. I think that may be the message.
NIV says, do not put out the Spirit's fire.
Oh, so it's NIV that says that one, right?
But another word might be
ignoring.
Ignoring it.
It could be. I don't think it is. Because I think that one's active.
Mm-hmm.
This one is active. Ignore would be just passive, standing inside. This, you're taking action to shut something down. Now, let me show you two pieces of the context for this one. I want to show you a little bit of the context for this one.
I want you to back up to the tail end of verse 13. Because this is one of the earliest lists we look at. When we started looking at lists, this was one of the earliest ones we looked at. We have seen this verse, but in the context of a longer list. Let me just remind you of what that list includes. The middle of verse 13 actually starts a new paragraph. Sometimes they don't put verse breaks at the right place. Be at peace among yourselves. We urge you, brothers, to admonish those who are undisciplined, encourage those that are apprehensive, support those who are weak, and be patient with everyone. Listen to the first two. Admonish those who are undisciplined, encourage those who are apprehensive. Some you admonish, some you encourage. It's important to know which ones are which. Always aim for what is best for each other and for everyone. Always be joyful. Pray constantly, and for all things give thanks. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. There's not too many times in Scripture it says this is God's will for you, but this is one of those places, and that's why we looked at that list. And the very next thing it says is don't stifle, don't quench, don't put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. Don't smother. That's another way of saying put out fire. Okay. So what would you have to do to be doing this one?
What would a believer have to be doing that this particular description would match or work?
Discourage other believers.
Good. It's really interesting you say that, because it's not quite that. And I want you to see this. Read the rest of the verse. Don't stifle or quench the Holy Spirit. And what does the rest of it say? Don't treat prophecies with contempt. Let me tell you what that says. Don't stifle the work of the Holy Spirit in your own life. And don't stifle it in the life of somebody else. That word prophecy says somebody is saying, I have a word from God. God is leading me or moving me to do something. He's saying, no, it's not. Or you put it down or something like that. So it's the second half of the verse that's saying what you're saying. It's definitely there. But it's in the second half of the verse. Don't shut down what the Holy Spirit's trying to do in your life. And don't start quenching the fire. Somebody else gets on fire. Man, I'm thinking about doing something. What are you doing that for? That's never going to work or something like that. That's, I think, kind of what it's talking about. Yes, sir?
The picture I get is sort of humanly controlling rather than opening to what God is doing, even though it may be different at the moment. It's putting it something that I can control and understand.
just being open to maybe what I don't understand.
I have a lamp at home. You may have a lamp like it. It has a plug, it has a cord, and then here's the light. And along the cord, there's this little roller thing. And I can flip that little roller thing, and what happens? Nothing gets through. That's a question. Holy Spirit's trying to move, and you say, not this time. I like your words. Imposing human control on things that God is trying to move. I don't know how many of you in this room, maybe six or seven, know the name Larry Prince. Some of you know that name.
I work with him.
Yeah. Some of you don't know that name. Larry Prentice was convicted, not sin. That was already in place. But he was convicted powerfully some time ago that God was calling him to reach every prisoner in the state of Virginia with the word that God loves them and wanted them to be right. What would have happened if somebody like a co-worker or somebody that was at his church, this church, said, are you nuts? Nobody can do that. Did Gary Sims talk in your hour this morning? What does Gary Sims do for our church? He leads an effort whereby we reach every prisoner in the state of Virginia. I don't know if you know this. The state of Virginia has processing centers, is the way I understand it. And everybody who's going to be a prisoner in the state system comes to the processing center, is there for about 3 or 4 weeks. They do medical things. I don't know what all they do. And then they're sent out. And they could go as far as southwest Virginia, probably 300-400 miles away. But they come to one of these processing centers around Richmond. And our church, now in cooperation with some other churches, every process center gets, what, 2 worship services, 1 worship service a week?
Every Thursday
night. Every one of these process centers. If you're a prisoner in Virginia, you've got 3 or 4 weeks, 3 or 4 opportunities to hear God's word. And if you hear it and want to do more with it, then they'll write to you wherever you are the rest of the time in prison. What would happen if somebody had said to Larry, are you nuts? Nobody can do that. Don't quench the work of the Holy Spirit in your own life, and don't quench it in somebody else. Say instead, okay, what can we do? What resources do we have? How many loaves and fishes are sitting around that we can feed thousands with? That's a huge one. That's a huge one. Resist is still in the middle of this, right? But it's resistance of a different kind. We got 5 minutes. We got one to go. Luckily, we've already done it. But some of you weren't here, so we'll have to do a little bit again to get you up to speed. The last one takes us back to Ephesians, one chapter later, to Ephesians chapter 5. And the context here is the first half of the verse. This one is the only one that's positive, and I know of no other place. These are the 4 places that I know of where it talks about this kind of thing. Talks about believers, and it's positive. Now, saying exactly what it says is a little bit of a trick to it. I think I can do it because I've practiced this and some of you have heard it before. What does the first of that verse say?
Don't drink too much.
Don't get drunk. That's what it says. In the vernacular, it says, don't get drunk. Isn't that a strange start for an inspirational verse? And then what does it say? And then what does it say? Don't get drunk. What's the rest of the verse? My translation of the word is filled. Is there any other word that your translation was using there? Is that what? Be filled with the Spirit is what mine says. Is that what you're saying?
In control.
Yeah, okay. So yours is using the word control. Okay, well, you're almost there. When we talked about this before, this was the context. I want you to imagine arrest. Somebody can be arrested for possession of illegal and illicit substances. If you're of a certain age, it can be alcohol. Any age, it can be drugs or whatever, right? You can also be arrested for being under the influence of illicit things. What's the difference between the two?
One is dangerous violence.
In the case of one, it's with you, but it's not controlling you. In the second case, you not only have it, but it's taking control of you. So what's he saying? Don't let illicit substances take control of your life. Let the Spirit take control of your life. No DUI. What God wants is LUI. As dumb as that old cliche sounds. Don't be driving under the influence of illicit substances. Live under the influence of the Spirit. And here's the point. A lot of people are believers. What does that say? They possess the Spirit because the Spirit is given to you when you become a believer. But very few believers are living under the influence. Possession, yeah. How about influence? That's this one. God is calling us not just to possess the Spirit. That's the first step. God's calling us to live under the influence of the Spirit. There's a line in Corinthians. Paul is talking about how he built the foundations. He uses an agricultural metaphor first. He says, I did the planting, somebody else did the watering, but God gave the increase. And he says, I built the foundation like a master craftsman. But what he means is, he witnessed, saw people converted, saw people come to repentance, come to redemption. Now they're believers. And he says, but now those people have to start working on their construction. What are you going to build on the foundation you have? So the day's coming that dawns in fire. It's going to test how you've been building. You may have been building in gold or silver or precious jewels, or you may have been building with wood or hay or straw. The day that dawns in fire is going to test it. What happens to gold when it gets tested in the fire? It gets purer, it gets more valuable. What happens to straw when it gets tested in the fire? His last line is, people who build with hay, wood, or straw, they'll be saved, but they'll be saved like you'd be saved from a fire. The question isn't for a believer, are you in possession of the Holy Spirit? The answer to that is yes. The question is, what do you allow the Holy Spirit to do? Do you see how resist just sort of follows all the way through all of this? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Last week, we ended with looking at this strange little parable in Luke. This woman had had this evil spirit. The evil spirit had been driven out. She swept and tidied up everything. The evil spirit came back and found the place empty. And went and got seven worse things. If you don't fill your life with good things, you've left room for the bad things to come in. You want to live life without bad things, don't focus on getting rid of the bad things. Focus on bringing good things in where bad things don't have any room. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's all we have time for. Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Our Father, we thank you, first of all, that you have given us your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the work that the Holy Spirit is doing. And we pray that you would give us the wisdom and the insight to recognize that we need to work with the Spirit. And to let the Spirit work in and through us. We pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, whose death and resurrection gives us life and hope. Amen.